Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. We're glad you could join us once again today. And before we get started, I want to remind you that just because you hear certain tax strategies or certain investment opportunities on today's show or any show that we have a part to do with, please don't rush out and join in. Let's first get you to check with your current tax, legal, investment advisors, real estate mentors, etc., and make sure that they agree that what you heard is in fact correct, and ascertain whether or not it might fit your current facts and circumstances. So in any event, a lot in the news today to discuss, or over this past week, and I'll turn to that here momentarily, but I was just reading, it seems like article after article after article now is saying that it's going to be a while before we see the interest rate cuts that we were hoping. So in any event, I put a few of those out on the website. A couple of economists that are well known that are saying it's going to be a while. So I don't know. The mortgage rates, on commercial and residential are not going down anytime soon. And actually, as I mentioned previously, we're pretty much at the historical average right now for those interest rates. If you look at it over a wide range of years, you know, this is not the end of the world, certainly. And I know even in my lifetime, we saw back in the, what was it, late 70s, early 80s, mortgage rates were up in the high teens. And people were still buying homes. Somehow they still were able to buy homes. Of course, I don't know. I don't recall inflation being as bad back then as it is now, but it probably was. I just wasn't quite the consumer back then, still in college at that point. But anyway, well, let's go. I guess I should have mentioned, if you don't have any advisors at the moment that understand real estate taxation, retirement plan taxation and planning, real estate private partnership syndications, and zero tax mass strategies. That's the four-way intersection that we tend to work at with our clients. Please go to our website, fill out, and go to the forms link, fill out the first step, first form. It's the client profile. And if you'll do that, we will be happy to spend some time on the phone with you to help you understand how we might be able to assist with you meeting your goals and objectives for retirement. And it's not just retirement, but that's what most people that find us come to us for, is to help them navigate through their golden years, let's say. And I tell you, it's gotten to where the golden years are longer and longer due to the medical advances, medicines, and other technologies. And if you thought that your $1 million in your 401 was going to be adequate, I hate to break the news to you, but it's not going to be. And in fact, it probably wasn't before. Most people, when they think about $1 million, they think if I've got $1 million in my IRA or my 401, that's $1 million. And, well, no, it's not. It's significantly less by the time you factor the taxes that you're going to pay. And unless you have it in a Roth, which if you do, good for you. And that's what we're trying to continue to recommend to people we talk with, especially if you're going to marry that up with real estate private partnership syndications. And it's such a great fit because the ability for us to take pre-tax retirement money and convert it over to the Roth side of the house after we've invested in the real estate private partnership syndications, that is a significant step because now you get to calculate your conversion tax based on private company valuations as opposed to the stock market. And there are some significant discounts that apply. You've got lack of marketability because you can't just go sell your private company partnership, and you also don't have any voting control. You're relying on a typically a much smaller, perhaps less professional set of managers to get you to the finish line. You may not be able to rent your properties when you think you can. You may not be able to refinance them when you think you can. You may not be able to sell them when you think you can. There's a lot of unknowns. And unknowns are good when it comes to being able to value your assets at a lower value for purposes of paying a Roth conversion tax. And, you know, I like to explain that, hey, it's not just that it's a lower tax, but that gives you some downside risk protection on the investment itself. Because if your tax costs or your tax base is lower, then you don't necessarily have to hit a home run to still have a winning score, right? Because if you would otherwise pay much higher tax to convert your stock market investments to Roth, well, this allows you to do so at a significant discount, and therefore your investments, if they don't turn out the way we project or we hope, you haven't lost as much potentially. In any event, so at the beaplannershow.com, we do have another site called beaplanner.com, but we've got specific resources for the show on the beaplannershow.com, and the thing that the page we go to virtually every week is our news page. It's under the resources tab up at the top right, and you'll see a sublink under that for news. And if you go to that page, I've got a lot of articles out there, and been a while since we looked at our U.S. debt clock. I thought we could start there. The Fox Business site tracks the same information in a condensed format, and I have a link to their current article. I think they do it about weekly. They've got a page they keep updated. And as of yesterday, the national debt was cumulative $34,591 billion, and some change. I'm being a little facetious. It's more than a little change. It's let's see, $34 trillion. Then the billions, then the millions. So it's the change that I referred to is about $1.5 million. And they even put the 91 cents on it. Isn't that nice? So in any event, if we take a look at that article, it'll tell us how much each of our share is. and that's always a bit of a jolt, but I think most people tend to get numb when they look at it. And let's see, do they show how much each American's piece is? They usually do. I don't know that this week's article has that number, but it's somewhere. Each taxpayer's share is now up over the 200,000 mark, and I believe each man, woman, and child, in other words, everyone, each citizen, is over the $100,000 mark. But as Maya McGinnis says, Maya McGinnis is the president of the Committee for Responsible Fiscal Budget. I believe it's what the CRFB stands for. We are clearly on an unsustainable fiscal path. And that's also the subject of one of the articles I put on the website page there, about on the news page, about how the IMF, even the International Monetary Fund, is saying something's got to change with the U.S. And, you know, the thing that's really striking and it's alarming is, you know, our financial strength is not just with markets. Our financial strength is what gives us military superiority. And, you know, it seems like things are, you know, the world order may be changing. You know, when you look at what's going on with Iran now attacking Israel, and that has the potential, obviously, to draw other nations into that fray, including our own. And then you look at what China's doing on the other side of the world, where they're, you know, being, they're encroaching increasingly on Taiwan's rights, you know, flying more than a few, I want to say I've seen as many as 20 or 30 fighter jets on any one day going through Taiwan airspace, which that, you know, a year ago that wasn't the case. And so they're getting emboldened. And, you know, China, you know, God help us, if they didn't hold a couple $1 trillion of our debt, you know, I don't know that they would be this bashful in terms of thumbing their nose at America. And, you know, I would tell you that they may not care as much about that debt if they can do or have their way with that side of the world. I mean, they are made a move in the South China Sea, where they created some fake islands there to extend their border many hundreds of miles further south, to the point where now they've threatened the Philippine fishermen that used to fish those seas. They're blasting them with water cannons and trying to keep them out of those fisheries, very fertile fisheries for the Philippine fishermen. And it's just, you know, everyone's taking advantage of our perceived weakness militarily, and we don't even know what we want. We don't want to. We're trying to help other countries protect their borders. We're not even protecting ours. It's like we can't make our mind up. You know, what are we supposed to be about, you know, as a country? And I think it's alarming that all of these forces are kind of coming together simultaneously. Where on the financial front, we could not be worse off. Literally, there's nowhere to go but up. And do we see anybody in Congress or the administration taking steps to help us go up? Well, no. We're taking steps to increase the deficit every time we turn around. The student loan plan that Biden has unilaterally decided, again, thumb his nose at Supreme Court's decision a year or two ago, and now he's going to forgive, I believe it's $7.8 billion, if I'm not mistaken, is the number. And it's just, it's insanity. But in any event, let's do this. Let's go ahead and take our first break, And we will circle back momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
People always coming up to me and asking, what's your secret? With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little forgiving and love along the way. You better get to knowing, showing a little bit more concern about where you're going. There's a word unto the wise. You better get to living.
Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com for the Be a Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com, Nathan at npross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Like the song, Bobby McGee. Longing to be free. Take me where I want to be. Big dreams and faded jeans. And there are many just like me
with big dreams and faded jeans.
Okay, welcome back to the second segment of this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And national debt clock, I just flipped over to the actual, instead of the snapshot that's on Fox, I was looking for the per person. Yeah, the debt. It's gone up more than I thought. The debt per taxpayer is now $266,951. The debt per citizen is $103,000. So significant increases over the past, the pandemic for sure brought on a big raft of debt, but it all started back with the debt malaise, 2009, 2010, and that time, in terms of the real extreme growth that's taken place. And we've now come very close, if we haven't already. Let me see here. Have we gone over the line on defense? No, we're real close. Our defense expenditure, well, let's take them in order. Medicare and Medicaid collectively are almost $1.8 trillion. This is our largest budget items, our top four budget items. Social Security is about a trillion, a little bit higher. Defense is $881 billion. The interest on debt at the moment is $808 billion dollars. It will be over the trillion mark by the end of this fiscal year, September, and it will surpass defense here very near term. We'll keep checking back once a month or so. This is a fascinating site, by the way. It's usdebtclock.org. Real time, looks like a pinball machine. The numbers are changing right before your eyes, and it's just spectacular. And they've even got a mobile app. Not that you want to be tuned into this all day, every day, but I tell you what, as we're heading towards the November elections, this should be top of mind. So, I would suggest to you that you ought to have access to this readily available on your computer or on your phone, where you can take a quick peek and keep that with you when you go into the voting booth. And let's vote the bums out that are spending our money, because it's just tragic. And they're not just doing it to us. In fact, we probably won't bear, we meaning our generation, won't bear the biggest brunt. It's going to be our kids and grandkids, although it's become us and our parents, because the difficulty it is for all of us to pay our bills with what this causes, which in part this causes inflation. In any event, I can only, well, I don't know. I'm so concerned about the future of this country fiscally, because it impacts everything else. Again, you can't pay for your military when you can't pay for your debt, and you can't pay for a lot of things. Across-the-board cuts. I've mentioned it before. If we don't solve the Social Security crisis we have now, which the trust fund will be empty here in just under 10 years, and 2034, I believe it is, there will be an across-the-board 25% cut to Social Security recipient benefits. 25%. It's already passed into law. It's already baked into the future expenditures. It will be cut across the board. I believe that works out to $17,000 on a couple, if I'm not mistaken. That is where you have both spouses receiving Social Security. It's quite a bit of money, materiality wise. But anyway, well, let's go back to the site and deal with a couple of these articles. One economist, and this is an article that was on Fox Business this week. Let's see here. I'm going to read just a little bit of this. Excessive spending will hammer down economy before the next big boom. And it's economist Harry Dent, and suggesting that we need a debt detox in order to see the next great boom. In other words, we're not going to get there if we don't do something about managing the debt. And this gentleman was on Cavuto on Tuesday this week. He says, nobody's totaling this up. $27 trillion in debt and deficits from the government and money printing combined. Get this, since the 2008 downturn, $27 trillion just since 2008. That's crazy. Continuing on, and now the millennials are ready to spend money 2024 to 2037. Let's see. As I also predicted a long time, I guess what he's suggesting there is there's a ton of spending to come, and I think he's more than a little correct. The CBO shows that by 2034, our deficit, cumulative deficit, will be I believe it's 54 trillion. It will have gone up 20. Yeah, that'd be about right, because they're projecting 2 trillion on average each year. Each year's deficit. No, it's not what President Biden continues to say, that he's reduced the deficit by 1 point whatever billion. No, it's just this year it will have gone up $2 trillion, and it's going to go up for as far as your eye can see looking out, $2 trillion to $3 trillion a year. It actually ticks up to $3 trillion and then comes back down for a couple years there. I've forgotten the CBO analysis. And, of course, I don't believe CBO has it right. I think it's going to be much more. And I don't know how many wars and dollars to support the wars CBO worked into their analysis. But, you know, wars are expensive, folks. Look at how much we've already given Ukraine. And I've got mixed feelings about Ukraine. I would tell you, as Senator Rand Paul says, it's like, you know, we understand it's hardship for Ukraine, but we're borrowing every single penny that we've sent Ukraine. We are borrowing it. It is not coming out of savings. We don't have savings. And when you think of it like that, it doesn't make us feel any better, I suppose. But, you know, what are we supposed to do? And, you know, how do we provide the resources when we've got no money to take care of our own folks, and we're not even making an effort to take care of our own border? We're guarding or trying to help Ukraine defend their border. We're not even willing to do our own border. It's tragic, and it's insanity, absolute insanity. And I think Elon Musk had it right when he explained the other day that he sees a concerted effort by the Democrats to allow the 8.8 million folks that have come in to come on in, because it gets they get counted for the census. That gives more votes for the allocation of adding or balancing the number of congressional representatives in each state, et cetera. And that reverberates through the system. Now a state will have more electoral college votes. And it's absolutely, don't think that Biden and the head of Homeland Security, Mayorkas, don't think that that's not the plan and the strategy that is being executed. And I don't know. It's a sad state of affairs, but in any event, let's go take a peek at a couple more of these articles. How much of your money goes towards servicing the national debt? And let's see, where was this article? This is a Fox article. I believe it's Fox Business. Let's go take a look at this. Interest cost on the U.S. national debt consuming a bigger portion of income taxes. That's the subline. And this was a April 15th article. Makes sense. So far this fiscal year, about 39 cents of every dollar paid in individual income taxes has gone toward paying down the interest on the debt, according to new calculations published by the Committee for Responsible, the CRFB, I was mentioning earlier, it's Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget. I think I said fiscal budget. It could have been fiscal budget. The problem may soon get worse. If federal finances continue on their current path, we are only a few years away from the entirety of income taxes being needed to finance the debt, according to a research fellow at the Heritage Foundation. That's what we're talking about, folks, when we've been saying for I don't know how many months and now several years that the last piece of the discretional budget will be spent by the years 2028, 29, somewhere in there. And that's why we keep saying on the air that, hey, it's not Democrat, it's not Republican, it's math. And don't think that either camp wants to cut spending and it's the other one that's at fault. No, they're both at fault. They both have run up significant deficits. You can, you know, talk all you want if you're not the one in power, but the reality is once you're in power, it doesn't matter which of these two parties we're talking about, they do the same thing, and they may spend it a little differently. The argument is not over how much we spend, it's how we're going to spend it. That's been the case for most of my adult life. I can think back to the Tip O'Neill, Ronald Reagan days. Tax Reform Act of 86 was the first really monstrous change in tax law that I can recall. I was already out in the working world. In fact, by January of 85, I was working on, you know, my own firm, but I remember several of those tax acts in the early 80s, some of the really strong penalties that the IRS was provided came as a result of the 2003-2002 tax acts. So, but Tax Reform Act of 86 was quite an achievement, given Reagan was a Republican and he had a Democrat, I believe he had Democratic Congress then, but I remember Tip O'Neill, it was a much more congenial relationship than we have in today's divided Congress, and heck, even the Republicans are divided right now. They're threatening to get rid of Speaker Johnson, and I don't know, man. It's no way, rather, to run a Congress, and I really I don't know. It's a mess to even think about. It kind of turns your stomach. But bottom line is, the country has got to get a grip, because we're going down fast in terms of our ability to maintain strong economy and all that goes with a strong economy. But, you know, your employment, your wage growth, all of it is connected. And if you think it's not, just stay tuned and see what happens when the layoffs continue. We've had some layoffs start now, the tech sector especially, but it's going to get worse before it gets better. You know, I was just reading more of this article about how the tax dollars are spent servicing the debt, and let's see. The problem may soon get worse. If federal finances continue on their current path, we are only a few years away. Okay, and this is what I mentioned earlier. Interest payments on the national debt are the fastest growing part of the federal budget and are poised to leapfrog both Medicare and defense spending in 2024. That's Medicare broken out from Medicaid. And that's according to projections by the CBO, Congressional Budget Office. And like I say, they're not the most trustworthy set of economists when it comes to projections. Payments are expected to triple from nearly $4.75 billion in fiscal 22 to a stunning $1.4 trillion in 2032. By 2053, the annual interest payments are projected to surge to $5.4 trillion. As a share of the economy, total interest on the national debt is projected this year to hit a record 3.1% of GDP, which is the broadest measure of goods and services produced in the country. That percentage is expected to surge to 3.9% by 2034. I know you think of a change, not quite 1%, as, well, that couldn't be that big. Trust me, that's a huge, if you go back and look historically at what our interest on the national debt was as a percentage of GDP, it wasn't necessarily a peanut, but it was much lower. And the problem is not just the interest portion, it's that we've now borrowed, again, depending on which set of economists' assumptions you want to buy into, but I see anywhere from 100% of the GDP level in public debt to 100, and I don't know, I saw an article the other day that said it's more in the range of 166% of GDP, and that's trouble. I mean, there's just no way to describe it. You know, if you were down in, you know, 30%, 40% of GDP, it's like, oh, okay, well, you know, we're okay, that we can handle that. But in any event, you can think of the increase in net interest payments as 2/3 resulting from higher rates and 1/3 based on the amount of debt that's increased. And so it's a double whammy, essentially. For years, the U.S. has been able to borrow cheaply as interest rates have remained historically low. However, as the federal funds rate has increased, so have the short-term rates on Treasury securities, making federal borrowing more expensive, driving up the deficits. And the Federal Reserve raised interest rates 11 times in the span of just 16 months, lifting rates to the highest level since the 2008 financial crisis. Policymakers have since signaled that they are finished tightening policy and are planning to cut rates later this year, though they have not provided a timeline. And I would say you could, for an update on that thought, go look at the articles I put up on the site this week. There's a couple of them that say this period is going to be lengthened or extended before the Fed starts lowering the rates. Let's do this. Let's go ahead and take another break, and we will be back momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com for the Be a Planner show with CPA Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to nathan@npross.com, nathan@npross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Thank you. Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. Well, I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough to take control and make demands. Look like a woman, think like a man. Be as good as or better than. Gotta woman up and take it like a man.
Okay, welcome back to the last segment of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And let's take a look. Let's talk real quick about, let's see, treasuries get harder to sell, and that's not good for commercial real estate. So to tie the talk about the inflation, the higher interest on the national debt, et cetera, kind of comes full circle back to, well, what about right now? You know, how does this evidence itself in the commercial real estate space? And so in the latter half of last week, let's see, this article came out on 17th, Tuesday of this week. The yields on Treasury 10 years jumped, hitting 4.55%. on Wednesday, moving to 4.56% on Thursday, and dropping down to 4.5% today. Last week. So last Friday dropped down to 4.5%. By the end of Monday, it was 4.63%. If you ignore 2023, when rising interest rates had a heavy impact on Treasury yields, the last time the 10-year Treasury was in this range was the fall of 2007, as the initial rumblings of what would become the global financial crisis. Markets are not seeing the trembling out-of-control housing market and the derivatives built on top of that, but the current shakings might be worse. A series of weak auctions for U.S. Treasuries are stoking investor concerns that markets will struggle to absorb an incoming rush of government debt. That's the problem. And while Biden's talking about having cut the deficit by $1.7 trillion, that's just not true. We're every time we turn around, we're borrowing more money. And a sell-off sparked by hotter-than-expected inflation report intensified this past week after lackluster demand for $39 billion. Sell-off sparked by a hotter-than-expected inflation report intensified this past week after lackluster demand for a $39 billion sale of 10-year treasuries. Investors also showed tepid interest in auctions for 3-year and 30-year treasuries. And so the worry among investors is that if inflation doesn't continue to sink, the Federal Reserve will keep interest rates where they are now rather than start cutting as investors have wanted, or maybe increase rates if they decide it's necessary to break the back of rising prices. And again, the fact that, you know, it takes, with the interest rates going up, it's not just the interest rate dynamic of going up or down. All of a sudden, people are moving money out of certain investments and putting it into others. And so it creates a little bit of uncertainty in the market. And I know within the commercial real estate space, we've already had significant excitement over the last couple of years. And this doesn't help when you're trying to put a transaction together and you're trying to consider, well, what might my cap rate be? Yeah, you probably, obviously you'll have a real good feel for what it is going in, but projecting the exit cap rate and then raising money is the other issue. How much extra should you project in capital needs because you're not sure what kind of mortgage payment you'll be looking at? I mean, yes, you can buy a rate cap, and, you know, there's folks that have given the properties back here recently to lenders that had rate caps. They just didn't buy a rate cap that's high enough. And rate caps, by the way, are expensive. It's not easy to say, well, I'm going to buy a 2 or 3% rate cap, much less 5 or 6, which is what, if you backed up 3 years, that's what you would have needed to be safe here. So in any event, the month of May will bring another $386 billion in bond sales. And as the Wall Street Journal notes, this will continue no matter who is elected president in November. So, in other words, the concept of the government borrowing is like a runaway train, and it's not going to be stopped on a dime, obviously. And the first quarter of 2024 saw the Treasury sell $7.2 trillion in debt. Last year, the government issued $23 trillion in treasuries, which raised $2.4 trillion of cash after accounting for maturing bonds. And see, the problem we've got right now, or one of the problems that exacerbates the bigger problem, is that the bonds that are maturing are typically lower rate bonds than what we're selling. And that's the big snowball that's built up that's driving a lot of the Fed's conundrum. They really would like to cut rates, but they don't dare do it in the face of that occurrence, or it'll exacerbate the problem further. The Treasury Department decided to push short-term instruments as the Fed encouraged the idea that eventually they would cut rates. Well, that would make higher rate treasuries more valuable in a presumed near term, and that's we'll see. That remains to be seen, is what I would suggest. Let's see here. With inflation starting, or when with inflation started to strengthen again, that strategy becomes less appealing to buyers. Also, the Fed has said it will slow quantitative tightening, which is how it reduces its balance sheet holdings of Treasury instruments. Tightening expects that investors would buy more debt. As the Fed reduces tightening, the government might lower its expectations of how much investors needed to buy. And I think that they're beginning to realize it's going to be harder to sell the bonds that we need to generate the cash to pay for all the spending that this administration wants to do. And it won't be just this administration. It'll be the next one, even if it's a different party. But in any event, from a commercial real estate perspective, the more debt on sale, the greater degree of that circumstances invoke the law of supply and demand. Prices will likely drop low to get enough investor purchases, which would send yields up as the two aspects move inversely. The 10-year yield is one of the standard baseline rates used in commercial real estate lending. The other, the secured overnight financing rate, or SOFR, is strongly correlated to the 10-year, though often with a timing gap. In any event, you know, we'll keep watching. I mean, it's kind of like a train wreck. You know, you don't want to turn away, but I tell you, it's not going to be pretty in the world of syndications. Let's see here. We only have a few more minutes. Let's talk about Roth conversions, and as part of that, I want to draw your attention to a Kiplinger article. It's probably about number 10 down on the list. How a backdoor how a backdoor Roth IRA works and its drawbacks. And I know that I've had a number of clients that'll tell me from time to time that they would like to do an IRA, a Roth IRA, but they make too much money. And this effectively is your solution if you're in that particular boat as well. And high earners, the subtitle of this article is High Earners Can Get Around the Income Limits on Roth IRA Contributions by Converting Other IRA Accounts to Roth, but there are some caveats. Let's see. Let's see here. How they discuss these. Let's see if we can quickly condense this. This author is not a fan, apparently. Some high-profile personal finance commentators are big fans of the backdoor Roth IRA, which I am. I'm not, at least not for high earners, and here's why. If you're making enough money to be considering a backdoor Roth, there are likely higher impact, less administration-intensive ways to minimize your tax burden. Well, this is like so many other planners, quote unquote. And this guy's a JD and a CPA. He's a lawyer or an attorney, or he has a degree in law. We don't know if he's practicing attorney. And he's looking at the near term. That's not how I look at it. I look at the long term. I look at the fact that if you're 55 years old today, the IRS's own life expectancy tables have you going to age 85, 30 years. I'm looking at 30 years worth of tax-free income. That, to me, is the goal. It's not worrying about not getting a deduction for a peanut on your current year tax return. And so I'm going to continue to tell you, if you're a high earner, there's a way that we can get you into the Roth by making, you can make a non-deductible IRA and then doing a conversion or rollover over to the Roth IRA. We'll talk about this more on next show tomorrow. You can join us right here at 11 a.m. on KSEV AM 700. We look forward to having you join in.
Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.